Everybody, you can hear me in the back? Okay, great. If not, don't be shy, send the word. And the people on Zoom can hear? Ellie? Okay. So, the Sugya of Sochar Mask is a very complicated Sugya, as we've discussed. Simply understanding the Shakunatarya and the Gemara is challenging. And in addition to that, what's important about it, as we've discussed, is that it provides us with the opportunity to assess different factors, both with regard to Bedika and with regard to Bal Yirah, namely, you know, the relationship between Bailus of the Chametz as well as Bailus of the Rishus. And this, of course, is a very crucial issue. The possibility that you would distinguish between, that's not working anyway so far, the possibility that you would distinguish between, you know, Bedika Doraisa, let's say, in the world of Rashi and his defenders, who are many, in Chachmei Provence and Chachmei Sfarad, going back to a previous topic, as opposed to Bal Yiroa Doraisa, is also intriguing. But along the way, as we've discussed, everything is complicated by also assessing the status of Schirus Inyan Kinyan Abayis. And we'll see today a little bit also the role of Bailus on the Chametz per se, as well as in terms of even perhaps Chovas Abayis. Certainly the way I'm suggesting to interpret Rashi. So this is all what makes everything very, very complicated. But clearly, you know, this sugya needs to be coordinated with general Sochar Maskir sugyas, as we've done a little bit, but of course it's a massive enterprise. We'll do it a little bit more in talking about Maseiros HaMafteach. And this sugya, of course, needs to be coordinated with other evidence about Bedika and Bal Yiroa in terms of Bailus on the house, Bailus on the Chametz in general, whether the default is that everybody's, you could have multiple people who are Chayiv, or it's, in other words, the position which says that any Kol Dehu relationship, you know, with the Chametz is likely to be Mechayiv you, the more Chomor Shita we could call it, as opposed to the opposite view, which is that, you know, especially given Rabbi Shmuel and the fact that Bal Yiroa Bal Yimatzeh is hanging by a thread, instead of saying, well, it's such a dogged, difficult thing to extricate yourself from, that even though the conditions we did Torah, you know, shouldn't allow it to exist, it does exist. And that just shows how chomor it is, how, you know, it's the anti-Teflon. You can't get rid of chametz. Therefore, any Kol Dehu relationship is mechayiv you. Or no, the opposite, which is Ein L'chabalah Chidusho, it shouldn't exist, and therefore, in order for it really to apply, you require maybe all the conditions. Or no, you require one condition, not the other condition, and then the relationship between Bailus and Rishus come into play in a bigger way. In addition to the question of, especially if we're talking about the competitive aspect of Bailus versus Rishus, and again, that requires coordination with the Sugya Dava and with a larger discussion of Goy. Again, we're starting, you know, we've opened that discussion. We haven't completed it by a long shot. But Goy, Hektesh, Shalcha Iyat Taroa Va Taroa Shalacherin Vishal Gavoa. And then, of course, what about Hefker? And then, of course, things like, you know, Mafkin and Nifgad, if they're both Yisraelim. That's the debate that the Rush cites. And then you have here the question of Maskir and Socher. We're also going to discuss in a couple of minutes what about Mocher and Lokeach, especially vis-a-vis Bedika. Is that the same or different than, you know, Maskir and Socher? So, again, the Pashto, I'm just repeating what I said the other day, but I think it's very important, so that's why I just want to make it very clear. The Pashtus, one would have thought that if there's a clash between Rishus and Bailus, that, you know, I think our natural inclination would be to think that Bailus always is more of a connection. If that's not the case, and therefore, in other words, what I mean by that, like if the Masker owns the Chometz, even if you were to concede that the Socher is the Baal HaRishus, or sufficiently the Baal HaRishus, you know, our tendency, at least when it comes to Baal Yiroi, here you might distinguish between Bedika, even Bedika Doraisa, and Baal Yiroi, because again, there's a lot of, you know, reason to think that Bedika Doraisa isn't so much about the Chometz in the house as much as it is about the house being free of the Chometz, if you accept that view. But certainly when it comes to the Chometz, maybe even when it comes to the house, you would have expected that the Bailam of the Chometz certainly would be Koveya for Baal Yiroi. If it's not, that seems strange. So some of the Rishonim, rare, but a lot more of the Poskim, discuss the possibility that even though really, in principle, Bailus over the Chometz should be the Koveya, maybe because of the change in the status of the Rishus, there's either, you know, kind of a, maybe there's a combination of like an implicit Hefker, right? Plus kind of a Kinyan Chatzer, so that even though fundamentally, right, everything should have or should have depended more dominantly on the Baal HaChometz, Lamaisa, which we call it the Maskir for our purposes right now, but this might be similar if you're talking about Mocher and Lokeach as well. You know, that somebody sells his home permanently, you know, at this juncture. And you have the same question with regard to Baal Yiroi and Bedikas Chometz. So you might think that the, you know, there's a kind of implicit Hefker and an implicit Kinyan Chatzar. We'll have to examine those. The question is, does Hefker poter your Baal Yiroi? I mean, Baal Tosfos on Daled Amud Beis certainly think that it does. They think that's what Bittul is all about. But other Rishonim don't necessarily have to think that Hefker even helps you, per se. And certainly the Pnei Yehoshua on this and other sugyas thinks that Hefker doesn't help you, that Shalacher Mishal Gavoa is not matched by Hefker, because there you have Bailin, you know, Hapaturin, here you have no Bailin. But again, if you assume that really it's a din in the Bailin, but the reason that the Socher is a better candidate here is because of this kind of Hefker and Kinyan Chatzar, so you're assuming three things. You're assuming that Hefker works to be Pota the Maskir. You're assuming that there is an implicit Hefker. And you're also assuming, right, that there's a Kinyan Chatzar, you know, even in such a case where it's not really beneficial, obviously, to the, you know, to the recipient. Although, again, there's a small period of time, maybe that's partly the answer, you know, before it becomes Aser B'Hanah and so on and so forth. Right. And that is the view that we'll try to document it. But that's certainly the view of the Rabbeinu Manoach, excuse me, in Hilchos Chometz Matzah, Perek Beis Halacha Yud Zayin, who discusses this question. This idea that there's a kind of a Hefker and a Kinyan, but even before that, it ends up being the din, the view of the Ravid, again, in the Tzvideim or the Tshuva, whatever you want to call it, his understanding of Mesiras HaMafteach, which we'll get back to. For the Ravid, Mesiras HaMafteach is a kind of hafka and an implicit hefker of the be'en, which then gets picked up by the socher. So the socher, you know, assumes the dominant position because, not because formally Mesiras HaMafteach, but Mesiras HaMafteach is like a symbol, you know, of this other transaction that is going on. Anybody have the language of the Ravid? Again, we'll get back to it in terms of Mesiras HaMafteach. But Jonathan, do you have it?
Yes.
Right. So that's the view of the Buddha. But Rabbeinu Manoach says this even, per se. And even in terms of the Shakyamuni of the Gemara, ala maskir, ala socher, chametz didei, etc. So, one second. A nice big Rambam here. Thank you. Right? We changed that, right? But you're not taking the... You're saying you don't deserve the credit. Whoever did it, we like to thank them. So the Rambam in Perek Beis, actually, Halacha Yud Zayin, Halacha Yud Ches, doesn't really say very much, one way or another. The Nosei Kelim on the Rambam, who are just trying to fill in the blanks, they end up saying a few interesting things, particularly Rabbeinu Manoach. So in Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Ches, what he says is as follows. V'nira, the socher, im lo nishtamesh, bebayis zeh, He starts off saying what we would expect, which is that the socher has no connection to the chametz. So if you're talking about Bal Yiroah or Bittol, he is certainly going to be excluded. And by the way, that's pashtus of the Gemara. Because in the Chakira of the Gemara says that Chamira Didei is the reason to think that the Maskir is Chayav. So obviously the fact of Chamira Didei seems to be undisputed. But then the Rabbeinu Manoach goes on to say, V'nami le'idak kisa, the socher nami tzor shiyabata, gazrina me dilma oso lemecho minei. First of all, that's fascinating. Because how can he be mevatel something that he doesn't own? Right? Number one. But why would he be obligated anyway? What does Bal Yiroah Bal Yimatzeh have to do with the socher if it's not his chametz? So the answer seems to be, Dilma also osi lemeichal minei. But this isn't Bal Yiroah, this isn't in Bedikah, this isn't Tosis. Right? So this is Rabbeinu Manoach giving expression to the view which we've already talked about, which is that even Bal Yiroah is a siag daraisa of achila. But if that's the case, Rabbeinu Manoach is mechadesh, then the Bal Yiroah will apply even for someone who's not the Bal HaChametz. That's very remarkable. But then the question is, but still, how can he do bittul on something he doesn't own? Maybe the answer is, I'm speculating, that since the whole Bal Yiroah itself, right, is hanging by a thread, Rabbi Ishmael, and yet it exists. But if you hold that it exists, b'toras, the siag of Shema Yochal, so then even the bittul is something which is connected to Shema Yochal. So this is one way for Rabbeinu Manoach to turn the socher, right, if you hold this way about Bal Yiroah, and even bittul, you could have said it's true about Bal Yiroah. But still, bittul requires bialis. Chiddushu, that if Bal Yiroah, right, is about Shema Yochal, and that's on the socher, right, then hu adin, that would be the case, even for bittul, that's mechudash. Then he says, besu, shakol hamaskir bias b'stama makna kol hachametz animsa shom l'socher, v'chashvina le'kididei, the second shot, which is, that there's an implicit, right, hefker and kinyan. Maybe the nafkamina is whether or not the maskir also has a chiv bittul and bal yiroah. Maybe if it's Shema Yochal, right, so that's enough to create a chiv for the socher. That doesn't necessarily eliminate the maskir. But if there's implicit hefker and kinyan, then that's a different story. Either way, the two shitos in Rabbeinu Manoach, each one in its own way, It's mechudash. But this second view, as I say, is kind of already anticipated by the Ravid in the Sira Samavteach. And that is also a view of a lot of the poskim in Shulchan Aruch, like the Magen Avraham, in the beginning of, Taf Lamed Zayin, basically suggests that the socher is the bailam on the chametz because of this implicit hefker. Although he then goes on to say that in his opinion, both the socher and the maskir should do the bittul. And he says, and this is implicit in Tosis. How it's implicit in Tosis, I don't know. The Chok Yaakov in Shulchan Aruch makes that ha'ara. He says, I don't see anything in Tosis that even talks about this. So it's interesting how the Magen Avraham read Tosis, that he found this in Tosis. Either way, the Mekor Chayim is troubled by this whole perspective. Mekor Chayim says that, you know, it's against the Shakavitarya of the Gemara. Because the Gemara originally said what it said, which is that the maskirs, you know, that what commends the maskir as a candidate for the Chiyuv Bedika is the fact that it's Chamira Didei. But if you believe in this, you know, view, which I'm trying to show is implicit in the Ravid, or explicit in the Ravid, but about Mesiras HaMavteach, maybe it's a later point in the Gemara. But certainly also the view of the Magen Avraham and other poskim, then it seems to be against that line in the Gemara. And therefore the Mekor Chayim goes on to make a very fascinating suggestion, which I'll get back to, but I don't want to do it right this minute, about the difference between Bedika, which is the Shakavitari of the Gemara. Basically, what I'll elaborate later, but the Mekor Chayim basically suggests that this depends on parameters of Kinyan Chatzah. He starts off by saying, well, the Rambam doesn't have a shemetz, you know, of this kind of a din, that the socher is obligated to do bittul because he's the one who's responsible for Bal Yirah. The Rambam only speaks about Bedika. He just quotes the Maskana of the Gemara about, you know, Mesiras HaMavteach. So the Mekor Chayim says, again, this is, you know, this is the Mekor Chayim, this is the Nesivos talking. He quotes what he writes in the Nesivos, but just in terms of his, like, you have to understand who you're dealing with in terms of creative power. So the Nesivos basically says, listen, the Rambam is L'shitasa. Why? Because the Rambam in Ovoschirus, right, we use this Rambam to explain something, right, basically says that the Kinyan Chatzer in Schirus, all things being equal, belongs to the Maskir, not to the Socher. Right, in the Zevel case. He says, yeah, the Rambam's not going to buy into this whole notion of an implicit Hefker, you know, slash Kinyan Chatzer. That's why the Rambam doesn't think it's true at all. However, since he doesn't want to abandon the Magen Avraham, or earlier even Rabbeinu Manoach, this whole group that thinks this, so he says, oh, I think I have a solution. And that is, in my opinion, based on what I wrote in Choshev Mishpat of the Nesivos, regarding this Rambam Ravid argument, namely, who is the Bala Chatzer for Dine Chatzer? The Socher or the Maskir? Says the Nesivos, the answer is, it depends. With regard to, you know, being Koneb Chatzer Shalomi Daito, that's the Maskir. But with regard to, you know, Midaito, or Denichale, you know, he says, that will be the Socher. He says, my view in Choshev Mishpat, I'm trying to explain some of the stiras between the Rambam and the Ravid in the Psakim in Shulchan Aruch, and I thought that this was the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Namely, that somewhere in between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Chotzer Shalom Midaito is a Maskir, and Chotzer Midaito is a Socher, which, by the way, works very well with the view that I was trying to propose, even for the Rambam, although it might be, you know, this expression may not be true for the Rambam, and that is that, you know, it's not mutually exclusive, the Maskir and the Socher's bailus. It's a different kind of bailus. Maybe that expresses itself in this nuanced difference with regard to Kinyan Chatzer two. So he says, with regard to this question, this is the sharpness of the Nesivas, he says, I now think I can answer the Magen Avraham, right, and I can also live with the Shatavitari of the Gemara. Because the Gemara is speaking about Bedikas Chametz. And Bedikas Chametz is, you know, about, you know, Shema Yochal. I'm sorry, let me say, I'm going to actually write. Hold on a second, I think I brought it. Did I bring it? He says better than I do. Hold on one second. I'm pretty sure I brought the Mekar Chaim with me. He says, in my opinion, this is the difference between Bedikas Chametz and, and Bittel. Let's see if I can find it here. This is Taf Lamed Zion. This one is Sif Katan Gimel. They quote some Magen Avraham. The Midvar of Mash with the Chametz Habashal Socher. Kivin the Maskir Hifki Rav Kanu Asocher. B'Shasa Mar B'Chamir Adidei. Ach Efshar, then he asks about the Rambam. Ach Efshar Lomad Rambam L'Shitasei. The Posek the Chatzer Hamuskar Ein Akonu L'Socher. He doesn't tell you where that Rambam is, but that's the Rambam that we discussed in the Maskirah Parakah. Ach Mishas Muchach Behedya. The Chametz Lo'al L'Shal Socher. Lachin Nir D'Ika Kamosha Kasavnu. Liyashev Amechaber, and that is that the distinction that I just made. V'imkei Nochanami, the socher chotzer d'havik socher yado ena kone hametzia shelo midas socher kivin alav lahachi agra kimo b'foa. So he says, and therefore, when it comes to bedikas chametz, ulfiza asashapia, the b'shas ma'irim bedikas chametz, right? She'ena yadua lo. Lo hava chametz ala socher. The chotzer amuskar eino kone shalom midaito. Is he the bailam on the chametz, which is in the home, which he doesn't even know about, which he can't benefit from? It's only a negative. Therefore, korina le v'shas chamira didei shalamaskir. Avol bito, duhu mitama mavur b'psachin. This is clever. Shema yimotze guska yafa v'dayte alei. And the point is you need bitol because you might really want to keep the chametz. He says, oh, oz bevada yikne lo chatzero kivin d'dayte alei mimanashak. If ain't dayte alei, then you wouldn't need, you know, the bitol. You could rely on the bedika d'oraisa. Right? So according to Rashi. The only reason you don't rely on bedika as a din d'oraisa, and you want that bitol, is because of the shemi matzei gliska. But mimanashach, that means that you're interested in it. V'hamaskir efkiru midaito l'chein tzoruch levatol mikodem. So he says, that's why the nichanami hodelo boi b'shas amocha katero b'yudavod yimal amocha livdok. The chamiru today olakech yisur b'shusei. V'lefim asha kasavnu nicha Dibelokeach achatzer kone av shalom idaito. V'av chamir didei. V'gami sura b'rshusei v'adai alakeach dibdok. Avol b'maskir bo'i shaper mitam shakasavti. I mean, why don't we ask the question about alokeach and a mocher? The answer is because if it was alokeach and a mocher, this is the, we'll discuss other perspectives in a moment, not maskir b'socher, then you would have Kinyan Chatzer, by virtue of the implicit Hefker, because the Lokeach is the Bailan Gemurin. And therefore, like a regular Chatzer, it's a Filu Shalomi Daito, he's Kona. Oh. So that is the perspective of the Nesivas. So my point is that there is a group of Mefarshim, you know, Rishonim, early Achronim, later Achronim, or of the opinion that even though the chametz belongs to the maskir, right, either the first formulation of Rabbeinu Manoach, since it's a Shema Yochal factor, right, that is koveya legamri for Bal Yirah, that's mechudash, that's another mechudash application of Bayuraz Asiyag Daraisa, but an additional chiddush about Bittel being determined by that, which I think you could have argued about. That's one formulation. That's Ichanami, in Ichanami, it's not Shalom in title, but at the end of the day, the Rishuso is Koveya, Legabe, Balyura, and Bittel, because of Balyura and Bittel's, you know, being a Siag Daraisa of Achim. That's one. Or this other view, which is, you know, Rabbeinu Manoach articulates, the Magen Avraham, the Chok Yaakov, they're only discussing, do you need a backup? Also, Masker should be Bevatel, or both of them are Achrayim, right? But no, this implicit Hefker and Chotzer. And then, in light of that, you have this whole discussion of the Mekor Chayim, what do you do with the Gemara? And maybe to be Mechalik between the Medika and the Bittel in the clever way that he suggests, or at least to be Tolid on the Rambam and the Raivim, and so. However, I think that there is another perspective, and this is implied in the Rishonim and Achronim, and that is that maybe, again, the assumption here, aside from Rabbeinu Manoach, number one, but Aberich number two in that whole Mahalach, is that in Achanami, at least when it comes to Bal Yirah, if not Bedika, because again, Bedika, it's easier to say that it's a Chovas HaBayis. Right, and to say that Rishus is actually superior to Bailus on the Chametz. But maybe one could suggest such a thing with regard to Bayirah as well. And that because, number one, I mean, separate from Siag Daraisa. Number one, if you say Siag Daraisa, it makes sense. Number one, because of the things that we've already talked about. The Torah emphasizes Gvulecha, Besecha, even when it talks about Bayirah Bayimata. So instead of seeing that as like an additional adjustment after Bailus, but Bailus remains kind of the supreme factor, one could have said, again, the nature of Bayirah is about Gvulcha, Rishuscha, Beischa, etc. And therefore, if there's comets physically in the home, and you know, the home, you know, belongs to, and it's not chametz from the outside. The only thing is it shouldn't be chametz from the outside, maybe. And here the fact that it came, I don't think you need kinyan chatzer for this. But the fact that it is part of the transition, like it's legitimately in the bias that you, you know, now acquired, may establish that the shalcha alone is what's the critical point for Bayirah. And or, bringing, again, Rabbi Shmuel back into play. When Rabbi Shmuel says, Shnei Dvarim Enu Shus Hashem Masan HaKasim Kilo B'Shuso, and everything that we keep talking about, and it's hanging by a thread, yet nonetheless, so maybe one of the ways to explain it is not that it's Bebaluscha, you know, or it's always Bebalus. One way to say it is, Yisrael always is retained in your Bailus. Again, there seems to be the debate between the Raivin and the Ritva. We'll talk more in Sukkah. However, typically, the fact that you can, you know, do whatever you want with the object, you know, establishes that titular Bailus is insufficient. And we're really being told in the context of Chametz is that this is an exception where titular ownership is enough. And that's the Chiddush of Chametz. If that's a Chiddush of Chametz, first of all, it has other implications, perhaps. What about Bailus on the Chametz le'inyan dvarim acherim? Does that change by Rabbi Shmuel? According to this, it wouldn't. Because what we're really just saying is that the criterion for Chametz is different. Not that we are machnis Chametz bershuscha more particularly. Right? So with regard to all of the dinim, there wouldn't be any change. Okay? That's one way to look at what Rabbi Shmuel's mechat. The other way is that typically, right, the fact of Yisuri Anah undermines some level of Bailus, whatever it is, full Bailus, partial, whatever it is, the Bailus that you need. And the Torah is mechadesh, and when it comes to chametz, because of Baal Yiroah, because they demand that you do more, that this gets to, if you don't, this the association retains it in your rishus. And then, you might even think, again, we'll get back to all these, you might even think that you're more bailam over chametz, even vis-a-vis other issues, because by virtue of the fact that there's a chalos bailus with regard to Baal Yiroah, almost like a, you know, migu to have a dofen, you know, Linyan Shabbos have a dofen, Linyan Sukkah. So there's a kind of achshavei or whatever, a kind of expression of bailus in this particular case, right, which you retained lira'ah. And therefore, maybe, this affects other dinim too. Maybe the regular dinim of Isuri Anah, let's say, not being transactable, doesn't apply here. For example, the question is, how did the Rambam think that you can acquire chametz on Pesach? Right, in order to then turn Baal Yiroah into Lav Sheyesh Bo Ma'isa. Right? There should be a huge problem. You know, it's one thing to say that you're chayav for Baal Yiroah. It's quite something else to say, can you, unless you think you could typically buy Syria, that's a question. But what I'm suggesting is a model of explaining, not that your status hasn't changed, it's just that whatever that status is, which is usually inadequate, is adequate for Baal Yiroah. That's option number one. And option number two is, your status is different because of Baal Yiroah. Baal Yiroah kind of energizes your or registers your bailus. And then that has implications for other dinim. And then you can wonder, and what if you have something which is a double Isuri Anah? Like, A, can you do things with this chepetz or treat it as a bailin outside of the chametz? That's question number one. Two, let's say you have chametz kelaya kerem. You know, does that affect also the kelaya kerem part of it? In either direction. Like, it's kelaya kerem, so maybe there's no Baal Yiroah, or it's kelaya kerem, but who cares? And not only is there Baal Yiroah, but there's... These are some of the questions. There's also a third option, right? And that is, there's no bailus. That, you know, what you retain is not... You know, what you normally retain, which is inadequate, is still inadequate in and of itself. But the mechayev of Baal Yiroah is, again, rotsu b'kiyumo, nichale, or lo bitel, right? Lo, you know, hishbis, mirshuso. So then we're saying, you know, then it's all about nichal, rotsu b'kiyumo. Again, how far we go with that. You know, it's hanging by a thread, or it's so toxic, you know, and anti-Teflon that it's really, really hard to get rid of it. That's still an open question. But that's a different, that's a third way to understand the conclusion, you know, of Rabbi Shmuel. There's another way to understand the conclusion of Rabbi Shmuel. And that a little bit is related, it's a little bit like the first way. But let's look at it in a different way, and that is, maybe when it comes to bailus, right, there never was, or it's not sufficient, that's not what we're working with. But what we're really being told is that Baal Yiroah, Baal Yimatzeh, and not the third way either, not it just depends on Nichalei or Rotsu B'Kiyumo, let's say, because of Beischa and Gvulcha and all those things, let's say Baal Yiroah really depends on the degree to which this is Birshuscha, not Bibaluscha. So then we could say, Einam, Shnei Dvarim Einam Bershusa Shal Adam, regarding Bailus, Rishus in the sense of Rabbi Yochanan, you know, Zelefi Sheinu Shalom, Zelefi Sheinu Bershusa. But where ownership of, where its presence in the Rishus, as it did a Rishus, you know, it's Mikum, we'll call it, where that's Koveya, maybe Isuri Anah doesn't affect that. Maybe that's the point. In which case, we can actually have a model where more intense Rishus is going to be more impactful in this particular din than more intense Bailus. Ah, if that's the case, then that can affect some of these questions. Namely, what about the competition between the Mafkid and the Nifkad? Right? Again, we know that when it comes to Akum, right, and maybe Hekdesh, we have to examine each one. I don't want to do it now because it's take us too far afield. This sugya that we're doing now is one of the sugyas, you know, for what we've already done and for what we will continue to do, that is related to this question. The parameters of Chiyuv Barav Aymatze or En Bedika Daraisa, right, when you have multiple, you know, people involved. You know, an Akum and a Yisra, Hekdesh and a Yisra. What if you have Hefker, you know, but the Chepetz is physically in your Rishos? Right? What if you have a Mafkid and a Nifkad? So typically, again, if you're talking about Akum or Hekdesh and they're Peturim, but you say, oh, but if you Kabbal Achrayus, right, then in some respects it's Shel Yisra. But what if you have two Yisraelim who are both in the Parsha and they're competing, the Mafkid and the Nifkad? Right, who's Chayav? That's partly the debate. We'll look more closely at it when we get there. Right, between the Gonim, Rabbeinu Yonah brings an interesting raya from the Gudah Mibes Hanish Velo Mibes Hekdesh. We'll have to look at that. And the Rosh. So that's really the Rosh who says, well, but it depends on the Bailin, one would think. Right? And that's what the Rashash was invoking, you know, for Rashi. But the point may be that, so again, default, you would always have thought that whoever owns the object in a competition for Bal Yirah, for the owner and the person who has Achrayas, you would think it's the owner. Why should it be the Bal HaAchrayas? But if the real category, because of the Gzeres HaKasav, Gvulcha, Beischa, and maybe the nature of Bal Yirah itself, like Bedika Daraisa in a way, ironically, right? It says that it's a Chovas HaBayis, it's about your Rishus being free of comments. Or, and, if what Isuri Ana really is problematic for his ownership, but when it comes to something being perceived as in your Rishus, that's a different... In a way, it's ironic, because I think, as I mentioned, you know, the Xos suggests a compromise in the debate about Isuri Ana being Lachem or not. He says, it is Lachem, right? It's Birshuska, but... I'm sorry, it's Bibaluska, but it's not Birshuska. But he means that in the sense of the factor of Yochanan type factor of Rishus, right, which is an additional, number one, you have to be the title owner. Number two, you have to have control over the chayfets. But here, I'm suggesting Rishus in a different sense. Not Rishus in your control, you know, your second level bailus, but Rishus in terms of, like, is this really your Rishus? Well, if you're the one who has Achrayos, Shmira, you're the one who's going to be, you know, paying if something happens to the Chepetz, you know, maybe as far as that is concerned, even Yisuri Ana. So if the category of Bayura depends more on Rishus than on Bailus, then Socher, even with regard to the Be'en, may be a better candidate. Right? And then you would get the effect of Rabbeinu Manoach, of the Magen Avraham and the Chak Yaakov, you know, etc., you know, of the Makor Chayim, but on the basis of a much more fundamental perspective. Okay. Now, the Magen Avraham himself, I think later on, Sif Katan Tezayin, I have to look at it again, may have this in mind somewhat. And I think that, you know, it certainly works in better for some of the other poskim. So getting back to that, that's kind of where we left off. I've been speaking too long, but the last thing we discussed the other day, I'm just now elaborating on this relationship, is we were talking about, we discussed Rashi, we discussed the views within Rashi, and the debate within Rashi about Bedika Doraisa, and about Bayira, and now about Bittel, you know, Maskir or Socher. And now we've expanded significantly on that matter. From there we went to a discussion of Tosas and Tosas Rabbeinu Peretz, right, about, you know, assuming, you know, an obligation, you know, once it begins, and especially about Bedika being Shema Yochal, and the question whether Shema Yochal isn't just the reason for the Takana, but maybe it has a life of its own and a dynamic of its own. That's one of the things we're trying to say, you know, both for Tosas and Tosas Rabbeinu Peretz is both more explicit even about the Shema Yochal, but also more explicit about, you know, what ownership of the Rishus actually has in mind. I should mention, Zach just mentioned before, that, do you have it there? That the Chidush HaRim, who was obviously troubled by what we were troubled by, namely if the Mechayev, according to Tosas of Bedika, Shema Yochal, then what are you talking about, why do we care that the Maskir, you know, initially bore this obligation? Once he's out of the picture, he's out of the picture. You have it there, Zach? Go ahead. Yeah, so that's a fascinating, I don't know, you know, the Chidush HaRim is, you know, the world of Ger. So I don't know if the Chassidus part, you know, plays a role here or not, but the Chidush HaRim was an amazing, you know, Lamdan. But the whole Ger is actually a Lamdash Chassidus, or Lamdash Chassidic group. Anyways, but what he's saying here is to avoid what we were saying. Doesn't sound that way at all in Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, by the way. And frankly, I don't think it sounds that way in Tosfos. But the Kedusha Rim is saying, no, listen, Bedikas Chametz for Tosfos is exclusively about Shema Yochal. So how could it be Ala Maskir once the Socher is living in the house? And what does Chamira Didei have to do with it? It's a Chashash of Achila. So he closes the gap, where I close the gap, was to say, the reason for the takana is different than, you know, the token of the takana. Or maybe that's kufa the safek of the Gemara. And the Kiddush HaRim's closing the gap by saying, oh, if you're the Baal, you know, then you have to be, you Baal HaChametz, you have to be concerned, you know, as a lifnei velosite nichshol, about the person who's living in the home who's going to end up eating your chametz. Okay, that's man dekar shemei in the Shaka Vitaryu, but it's his way of closing that particular gap. Okay. Anyway, that's an interesting perspective. So then from there we went on to the third view, which was, oh, Bal Yira. There's no Bal Yira here at all, and no Bid for Bittel at all. Namely, the view of the Meiri, Ram Chalava, Rabbeinu David, all of whom say that no one's chayav for Bal Yira by Imatzei. But what we showed was, no one's chai for Bal Yira Ba'imatzeh, because in order to violate Bal Yira Ba'imatzeh, the way they interpret the sugya and Dav Vav and elsewhere, right, is that whatever is true for Akum is true for Yisrael. Hu adin, not a special din because the Akum is mufka from the chiv. Whatever we say about the criteria of Bal Yira Ba'imatzeh in Akum will apply in a competition between two Yisraelim as well. That obviously is not the view of other Rishonim. And by the way, in the world of Pturei, Akum, and Hekdesh, and sometimes even in Hefker, right, there are many precedents for Akum hekdesh, and sometimes hefker, being not just a lack of chiyuv or lack of condition to be mechayiv, but being a kind of hafgah. There is evidence for cases where, you know, bailus or connection to akum, hekdesh, and in some cases hefker, talk about trumas and maestros and things, right, is beyond the absence of a mechayiv. There's also opposite evidence for the same reason, in some cases, where, you know, akum, hefker, hekdesh, they just don't register because they're mufka for the parsha. Being mufka for the parsha makes your involvement either more benign or more actively potent. Okay? So the question is, what about in chametz? What's a din in chametz, especially about akum and hekdesh? And you also might be mechalek. You have to look very carefully at the gemaras, which we will. What's the pasuk? How many psukim for each? Right? But certainly one could have said that lecha shelcha ataroa v'yataroa shelacherim, the shel gavoa, is a special din in akum, at least, maybe in akum and hekdesh. Right? And it's not necessarily a paradigm when you talk about two mechuyavim, and the question is, which one? A, because maybe both are chayiv. Right? B, just the factors themselves. However, both Maran Chalava and Rabbeinu David go out of the way to say, hu hadin. That's part of, again, when you read it, you know, that's a little bit the counter-pressure. That's when you rebel a little bit. Really? Hu adin? It's not hu adin in Kol Torah Kula. Sometimes it's more mekel, sometimes it's more machmir. But it's, you know, often not hu adin. It's only hu adin if you think that Akum and Hekdesh per se play no role, and they're just hechetimtzis of what you need to be mechayiv. So the way the two of them understand it is that, you know, in order to be mechayiv by Rabbi Matzeh, you need both bailus and rishus. You need both. But even then, as we noted, there seems to be a difference between Maran Chalava and Rabbeinu David. In that, Maran Chalava's presentation was, sounded like, that the ikar mechayiv is rishus. And the problem of not being the bailim, which makes you pator, is simply that you're not able to do bior or bittel. I don't know whether that's a pragmatic tour, like an onus or something like that. It doesn't sound like that to me. But either way, in the language of the presentation, it sounds like if you were ranking them in a hierarchy, then what you really would be saying would be that rishus is the first condition you require, and in addition, you require bailus. Maybe for a semi-pragmatic reason, or maybe it reflects something, but either way, it's just presented differently. On the other hand, in Rabbeinu David, you have the opposite presentation. You have Rabbeinu David telling you that you require both, but saying kol shekein, that the maskir is pator. So while both are pator, right, but kol shekein, that the socher is pator. Here, let me just get the line. Does somebody else have it? One second. Somebody comes up with it before me, I'm happy to... here. V'zemash omer b'yichid l'bayis, the Gemara in Davava Menalit, she'eno zokut l'varo, k'moshu an asidim l'faresh, the kivin sh'achometz p'rshus anachri, ein bala chometz over alav. Af kishuhu b'rshus Yisrael, Kemochen, this is the Hu Adin, which is very obviously disputed in the Rishonim, and logically open to question. Eina Obar Lav Min Adin, Shemekom Mokom Eino Birshusa, Masha Amra Vol Torah Shemachem Rishol Gavoa, Apeshi Sholat Tayachol Ma'et, El Shafu Muzar Alav, right? The Eino Osui Lahashosa. But we'll get to that in a second. That ends up being a din d'rabbanan, or if it's a din d'oraisa, at least it doesn't translate into Bal Yerubai Matzah. Mikol Mokom Chachamim Gazru Biur. This is also an important point in Rabbeinu David. Mikol Mokom Chachamim. I'm sorry. The line I wanted before. I'm up to that. But Ma'achasha. It's an earlier line. Ma'achasha Chametu Bershuso Shall Socher. In a maskir over Babai Rabbi Matze, Afalpisha Chometzu Shalom, the Kolshke Shasokar Sheena Shalom, in over Alav, Afalpisha Ubirshusa. Okay? So Rabbeinu David is clearly saying that in the hierarchy, if you had to choose one, Bailus would be Mechayev you more for Bayira than Rishus. As opposed to Maram Chalava, who has the same shita, but in the presentation makes it sound exactly the opposite. And in theory, of course, you could have a third view, and I'm sure we do, which is that they're simply equivalent. You need both, each one as much as the other. For those people who think that either or both of them are chayiv, which is also a view, right? So that obviously is the parallel opposite view. Hard to know from them whether there's a more or less. Each one is adequate to be b'chayim. Then Rabbeinu David goes on to say, so what is this sugya all about? Right? If there's no bayi rov bayi matzeh, well, the sugya does focus on bidika, but still. So he says, mikol makom chachamim Gozru Bir al Kol Chametz Shel Yisrael. Afkeshu Mufkad Eitzel Goyim Amru Shehu Aser L'Achra Pesach. We'll have to look at these Gemaras later. Kin Mukhbaki Dir Hinu Etzlo. Kin Bina L'Meman L'Kamon. He quotes his own analysis on the above, which we'll get to. V'zu Aysa She'elu B'maskir Bayis V'chaveiro B'yudah. She'achar Shemin Adin Ain echad mehem over alav, zemipnei she'ena shalom, the zemipnei she'ena bershuso, the adanu she'en chachamim menichim chemsel shel Yisrael shelo yizbayar. This is a whole different din d'rabbanan, but it's a din d'rabbanan which it sounds like it echoes a theme d'oraisa. There's no ba'yirah. But there's still a din that chemso shel Yisrael ein hachachamim menichim shel lo yizbayar. And again, this goes again to the toxicity of chametz. For the same reason, maybe, that the Torah creates a bayira bayimatzeh, right, as a chumrah, shnei dvarim einam b'rishuso shel adam. Okay. So that doraisa, you know, given that it's hanging by a thread, right, is, you know, neutralizable, according to Rabbeinu David, you know, in a relatively, you know, benign way. Namely, if you're not violent and rishus, you're not going to violate bayira. But then the Rabbanan swooped in to say that if it's Yisrael chametz, then we're just still not going to allow it to be, you know, kept. Even Shelo Bershusa. V'yadanu she'en chachamim menichin chemsli sh'Yisrael shelo yizbar. And that is what the suffix in the Gemara, very big chiddush, is all about. The chiyuv bedika, which is a consequence of this implicit din d'rabbanan, that chemso shel Yisrael lo nitan lahashoso the Pesach. Al mi hitrichu. Right? Chemso shel chametz Yisrael apparently is different than Chafza Shal Chametz Goy. Al Miya Chametz Shalo, Al Mi Shehu Birshuso. I'm skipping a little bit. Vim Kein Nilmo, She Yisrael Shehifkin Etzlo, or it's a Chabero, Chametz, right? Shan Nifkad Zakuk Levayer, Avapi Shemin Adin Ein Over, Ma'acher Sheinu Chai Bachri Yuso, right? The Altatama, Mibneshalo Tzrichu Levayer, the Chametz Shal Nachri, Hamufkad Etzu Yisrael. What about the case, which is clear in the Gemara, right? You have Chemso Shal Akum Etzu Yisrael, Bili Kabbalah Zacharias, right? Ma'acher Shal Mitzvah, He Al Hanifkad. Why won't you say that since we find, right, when it comes to this chiyuv drabanan of bedika, that would have you have chefse shel chametz, even if you don't violate bal yirah, there's still a chiyuv bedika to get rid of it, and that chiyuv is ala socher, right, ala nifkad, I mean the person who's living with the chametz, rather than the person who owns the chametz. Why not say hu adin la'aku ma'acher shem mitzvah hi ala nifkad? The answer is, Shall Chemsa Shal Yisrael Haisik Zeira, Shall Yiskayim the Pesach, Ba Mitzvah Hitilu Al Misha Chometz Pershuso Shivarenu. It's a din in Chefza Shal Chometz Shal Yisrael, and the imposed obliged party is Misha Chometz Etzla. And then he goes on to be Mekadish a little more. Ulinina Bintel Nirun Advarim. Shein mitzvahs bitul alechad mehen. Right? This is in sharp contrast to those poskim who say both midrabanan, both midaraisa, or one or the other. Right? Shein a bitul alekadesh lo yavr bebal yiroa. V'chein adin shan nifkad shetilo ale mitzvahs abiyor, hei bitul lo yiklum b'meshein ashalo. As far as the din bedika, this din drabanan, that doesn't help you either. There's no bittul, therefore, when there's no bayulah, even for this din. V'amavki, she'ena chametz b'shuso, ein olav, lo mitzvahs biur, v'lo mitzvahs bittul. Therefore, the mavkin in a nifkad mavkin situation has no obligation whatsoever. Me'ata, maske b'ayisun kaveiro, kishasokha chayim livdok, right? Eino zopik levatel klal. This is not the mainstream view of the Rishonim. Right? On the contrary, many Rishonim think that if he doesn't do it, he'll violate Bal Yirah Vayimatzeh. Av Mishamra Bodek Tzor Shiyavatel Zosa Bedika, this particular Bedika, which has no Chashash Bal Yirah, doesn't require Bittel. When the Gemara says a Bodek Tzor Shiyavatel, it only means a Bodek who is facing, right, Bal Yirah Vayimatzeh. But a bodeg who's only satisfying to the din d'rabbanan of, chemso shel Yisrael boy biur, where there's no bal yirah chashash, ein atzricha b'bitul. The chen b'din, the leker chashasha shem yimatzeh guske yafe, lo lamaske v'lo l'socher. Hamasker ein ador shem v'lo yimtzeh'enu. V'asocher av v'bishi yimtzeh'ua, Lake of the Mimber the Daitele, Sheena Chamet Shalom, the Fimaisha is buyer, Bimakom. Okay. So what comes out of all of this is pretty clear, according to Rabbeinu David, and that is that the whole Sugya is dealing with a different kind of Chiyu Bedika Durabanan, not the Bedika Durabanan, which is connected to Bal Yirah Doraisa. That's a very mechudash reading of the Gemara that Rabbeinu David offers. And along the way, he teaches us a lot of interesting things about both Bal Yirah, Bittul, as well as the concept of Bedika. Now, the question of Chemso Shel Akum, as I say, itself, and the Sugya of Vav Amud Aleph, we already discussed very briefly the Machlokas Rashi Tosas there, and we'll get back to it. But you should just be aware that, you know, the question of lo yimatze, and the connection to, you know, Yisrael is a matter of controversy. Part of that controversy also revolves around how you understand the Ramban in his Perush al Torah regarding the Ptur Akum, which I'm not going to get into right now. But just to be aware that that's a major debate between the Shagas Aryeh, and a famous piece in Siman Pei Gimel. I'm not going to look at it now, but we will discuss it, and we'll discuss that Ramban. As opposed to, let's say, the Netziv in the Hamek Sheila and others, their understanding of this particular Din Drabban. Okay, so that is in terms of most of the Rishonim, Alatah, Tosatos, Rabbeinu Peretz, Rashi, Baram Chalava, Rabbeinu David, etc. Okay. I mentioned the Magen Avraham, already the Chak Yaakov. Let's turn our attention for the moment, to... I'm going to get back to the Mekor Chaim a little bit later also. Again, I think I mentioned that the Pnei Yehoshua very explicitly talks about the problem of Hefker, that even Hefker you'd be chayv by Rabbi Yimatze for. That's why he just disputes that completely. I'm going to discuss some of the poskim a little bit later on, when we finish with this, hopefully, on Sunday. Since we have to finish in a moment, I just want to begin discussing Mesiras HaMafteach. That's the end of the sugya. And then we'll just go back to Psak Halacha. I just wanted you to look up Shulchan Aruch anyway to see what they say, and also the Mekor Chaim, I think, I mentioned. The earlier one, Siv Katan Aleph, because that's critical to what we've been discussing. So the problem with Mesiras HaMafteach, just discuss for a couple of minutes, so we can finish this off on Sunday. What is the issue of Mesiras HaMafteach, Lior?
The issue is, I guess, what role that is playing?
Yeah. I mean, the Gemara is Tola, you know, when the Mesiras HaMafteach takes place, that's the Gemara's conclusion regarding the Chiyuv Maskir, the Sochan. So the question is, what does Mesiras HaMafteach have to do with anything? And once again, Lior, this is clearly is going to be a double issue. Meaning?
Meaning the role of Mesiras HaMafteach in Sechirut and also with the Abed Chametz.
Exactly. The first thing to look at is the framework of it. Does Mesiras HaMafteach work in Sechirus as a kinyan or something less than a kinyan? Again, if you haven't had a chance yet, look quickly at the Pnei Yehoshua, but also at the Talmud. If anybody has the Talmud Arajba, also. We have Talmud Arajba. Do they print it in the back of those? I know I have a separate volume at home. Just to look also at the Sum of Teach and the Raivin, so we already looked at. Oh. So the question is a dual question. What role does Mesiras HaMafteach play in Sechirus? Obviously, that's a factual question. Bepashtos, the easiest way to read the Gemara would have been to say that Mesiras HaMafteach dictates, you know, when he becomes a Socher. All right, there's also an assumption, and that is that the Tchiyuv Bedika depends on Tchilas Yudav in some fashion. Then the Taz, you'll see when you look at the poskim very quickly, has this whole complicated explanation of Tosis about, you know, what the timing really is. But I don't want to get into that right now. The Bach, his father-in-law, already had issues with Tosis. He has different issues, but it's fascinating that they're both always troubled by the same things, and they're both incredibly creative always in their solutions. We'll get to that. But the Pashtos, if you could explain that Mesiras HaMafteach is Koveya for the Kinyan, then all that remains really to be impressed with is that Tchila Zman Achiyuv is Kovei. Meaning when the clock, I guess, strikes, you know, at Bidikas Chametz begins. And that a little bit might be explained, you know, in light of things that we've already talked about. You could say, like Yerushalmi, that it's a din of Meshuma or Shmira, so Bidikas Chametz depends on the beginning. Or if you think that, like I was suggesting for the Rambam, right, that the Chiyuv Bidika is really a din in Tchila, you know, and everything else is a kind of a Tashlumin, it isn't just like Zrizin alone, and not even the fancy Zrizin, right? So you could say that that's the critical moment. Okay. If not, if that isn't such a critical moment, then it's still a little mechudash, but, you know, maybe it has to do with the fact that you have two good candidates, or the question of a chiyuv, you know, begun, you know, what are the laws, the meta halachic, or the specific halachic here, question of transfer from one person to another. That's not very loud. But basically, you can hear me in the back, right? It sounds loud to me. But okay. Not too loud? Okay. Yeah. So these are the issues involved. If, on the other hand, we take the view that Mesiras HaMafteach in Hilchos Skirus doesn't accomplish this particular goal, right? So then we face a focus, Lior, as you said it before,
on Chametz
and Bedika. And here it could go, presumably, in either direction, depending on what you want to say in the Rishonim. There can really actually be three, you know, perspectives to develop. One is the perspective of the Ran and a whole bigger group of Rishonim, which is, Lior, that we're dealing with a situation where Mesiras HaMafteach is not a Kenyan, but there was a Kenyan or there wasn't a Kenyan. Because here you can have two opposite scenarios, and that just changes the whole mix. Lior?
Yeah, do you want me to read the Ran, or just in general what he says?
Tell me what he says for now, because we're pressed for time. I do want to read the language on Sunday when we finish this off, because I think there's an important point in there, as opposed to the way some of the poskim took it. But what's the thrust of it?
He talks about whether, who has access to the house might play a role in who has to deal with these things.
Right, but with, in addition to Kenyan or instead of Kenyan? That's what I want to know.
Possibly in addition to Kenyan.
Yeah. For the Ran, the situation seems to be, you know, if the Socher has Kenyanim already, not through Mafteach, through Kesef Shtar and Chazaka. So he's now the Bailim, but the Maskir is holding on to the Mafteach, so Kenyan's not enough to be Mechayev the Socher. Right? But what would he say in a situation where the Kenyan had not yet been made, and there was only the Mesiras HaMafteach, so the Socher had the Mafteach, right? But not the Kenyan. What would the Ran say then? And if the answer, which it seems to be, is that that would not be Mechayev then, the question is, so why is the Maskir Chayev when there was a Kenyan and he's no longer the Bailim just because he's holding on to the Mafteach? That's Mimanavshach. If you need Kenyan and Mafteach, then why would the Maskir be Chayev? Right? If you only need Mafteach, then why isn't the Socher Chayev? For Bali Tosa, that's a question. We're going to deal with these questions. For the Bali Tosas, what do they say, Lior? What's their scenario? They, like the Ran, agree, or the Ran, like Tosas, agrees, that Mesiras Mafteach, in its own right, is not a Kenyan Schirus. Correct? But their scenario happens to be opposite of that of the Ran. Namely?
Whether a real Kenyan has already happened or not.
Even though a real Kenyan has not happened, the Socher might be Chayav anyway. In other words, according to Tosis, whoever is holding on to the Mafteach, right, is Chayav B'Medika, even if he doesn't have a Kenyan. So in a way, for the Ran, the question is, why is Mafteach holding up the Kenyan? If you have a Kenyan, you should be Chayav B'Medika. And for Tosis, the question is, why is Mafteach enough to be Mechayav you, even when you don't have a Kenyan? Right, those are two opposite problems. Now, again, they flow from a common denominator. Lema Mesiras Mafteach is not enough. Rashi, on the other hand, right, Lior seems to say what? Mesiras Mafteach is good enough. Now, that would, I say, solve the problem if it were true. The question is, what does Rashi do with everything else? The Talmud Arashba and Pnei Yehoshua have a kind of a compromise, each in his own way. One in terms of there being a Kenyan, but it's Efshar B'Chazara. I think that's what Pnei Yehoshua says. He intends to look at it. The Talmud Arashba says, oh, it's a Kenyan legabe lechazeku kni, whatever that means, that's an important formulation. Anyway. Right, the Gemara seems to say about Mesir Samavteach that it is the equivalent of lechazeku kni. Meaning, you still need a Kenyan, but the green light to make the Kenyan, it's now your decision. The ball's in your court. What is lechazeku kni? So again, anybody have that Talmud Rashba? Then you don't need to look it up. Just going to go 2 more minutes. I just want to set this up. I think that's what it says. The Talmud Rashba seems to say that lechazek, you have it, go ahead. Yeah. That's it?
Right.
But what is he saying? So what's different about what he's saying and what Tosis is saying?
So he's basically saying that
the Mesiras HaMafteach is Kaveya here because of Lechazeku Kni. That's not what Tosis says, or the Ran says, at least not explicitly. Correct? They say it's because the person who's holding the Mafteach, right, is the one who practically, or whatever, we'll see, has the ability to be bodek. In other words, let me make it clear. Those who disagree with Rashi in the Sugya quote this Gemara of, that establishes that Mesiras HaMafteach is only Lechazeku Kni. They don't think that Lechazeku Kni is relevant necessarily, right, to Mesiras HaMafteach's function here for Bedikas Chametz. The Talmud Rashba does. And again, Pnei Yehoshua goes further by saying, Mesiras HaMafteach is a Kenyan, right? It's just that it's Efshar B'Chazara. So it sounds like both of them think that Lechazeku Kni, which is what the Gemara says Mesiras HaMafteach works for, right, is not just a green light to do the Kenyan. In itself is a quasi-Kenyan. We'll try to explain that a little better. Okay. So if we have to sum up...
Isn't it possible that
Yeah.
Tosas also requires that, because otherwise they'll just be like Mafia and Midgard.
Maybe.
Is it like
maybe.
That then? Because the honey is what makes it road to allow.
I think it would help a lot to say that. Unless it's the fact that he's going to be the Lamaisa Shema Yochal guy, you know, going forward. That's also possible. So we'll see. Is Tosos purely pragmatic? Or is it something more? And that also is part of the debate in the postgame, including the Chok Yaakov against the Bach. You know, what will Tosos say, you know, in all circumstances? What will Tosos say about the Maskir, you know, holding the Mafteach, you know, after the Sochar already was Kona? Right? According to Tosas. So I think that's a good point. But it's not so clear in Tosas. So basically, to sum up for a minute, Mesir HaSamavtech for the moment, and you'll see the Kar Chaim has its own. So you have Rashi, who says it's Kinyan. That's its easiest. The question is, what does Rashi do with the contrary evidence? I'm going to make a suggestion about that now, very quickly, and follow through it on Sunday. Then you have the Rishonim who say that there's no kinyan whatsoever, and everything depends on Mesir HaSamavtech, and that's a chametz din. However, you have different versions of this, and we need to kind of assess them better. One is the socher without a kinyan, but with the mafteach is chayev. That's Tosas. The other is the Ran, the socher, even with a kinyan, without the mafteach, is potter. Okay? Both of those need to be looked at, and of course the alternative role, the role of the maskir, in light of that. Then you have the Pnei Yoshua, and I think the Talmud Arajba, who are basically saying, Kinyan Gomor you don't have by Mesir HaSamavtech, but you have something with Mesir HaSamavtech, a Kinyan Sh'omed L'Chazara, right? Or, and the green light where you now can take the initiative and do the Kinyan anytime you want. Maybe that's the same thing, maybe it's not. And that's enough for Chometz. Now is that, you know, because this is a Din D'Rabbanan, or does that also have a Chometz component? An interesting question. Okay? Then you have the Ravid, who basically says that Mesir HaSamavtech is a misnomer. Not really Mesir HaSamavtech. It's Siluk HaMaskir, which generates an implicit Hefker and Kinyan. You know, it's a shift in the Chamira Didei. That's the Ravid. That's understandable, it's just very mechudash. Then you have the Mekor Chaim, which I want to speak about more, who basically suggests that Mesir HaSamavtech clues into the Gzeres HaKosov of Lo Yimatze and Avav Amid Aleph. Remember, on Avav Amid Aleph, the Gemara seemed to say, in Yichud Lo Bayis, right, for the Nachri, that even though Kinyan, Schirus, is not a Kinyan Begufa Davar, nonetheless, it will be sufficiently Koveya here because of the Gzeres HaKasuv of Lo Yimatze. And already in reading Rashi and Tosas in the Shaklavatari and the Gemara, we suggested that there are different ways to understand that. And by the way, they're not, and it's no coincidence either, they're not so different from the parallel different ways to understand the Maskon of Rabbi Yishmael. Right? And for, again, for good reason. In both cases, we're saying that dinim that normally apply, that normally define, right, choshen, in the world of Choshen Mishpat, right, Bailus of Risuriana, in Rabbi Yishmael's case, Kinyan Schirus, right, Begufo, in the Bava Midalev's case, are different when it comes to Ba'yira and Ba'yimatze. What does that mean? But the way the Makor Chaim understands Rashi, this is explanation of Rashi, we'll talk about it more fully, he says for Rashi, That's the pshat in Rashi. That Rashi read the sugya in Vav Amud Aleph as saying that legabei chametz, right? A socher is a bailam on the rishus because of the gzeres hakasiv of lo yimatzei, even though it defies kol tarakul. There's a special definition of rishus and bailus rishus when it comes to chametz. So Mekor Chaim says, if that's the case, then why does bailus legabei chametz have to be standard when it comes to Besiras HaMavteach? Rashi understands the Gemara in Bava Amud Aleph is saying that we revise Dine Bailus and Rishus Legabe Chametz, Inyan Chametz. Vehu Adin Legabe the Hagdara of Besiras HaMavteach. After all, he says, isn't Besiras HaMavteach also about being Matsui? Right? If you don't have the key, then you know you have no connection. You're not Matsui the bias, and it's not Matsui Bershuscha Lamaisa. So if you're gonna take a more pragmatic definition of Loi Matsei and of Bershus, then why can't you do that for Mesir Samafteach too? That's a Mekor Chaim suggestion. Okay? So there's a range of views of Mesir Samafteach. But I want to leave you about thinking is another approach. I mean, he has another suggestion for Rashi, which he dismisses, which I actually like. I'll get back to that. But I want to just start with Rashi. Meaning, the pashtus of Rashi is that Mesiras HaMavteach works, and it works midin, kol Torah kula, schiros. He doesn't say it's a special din of chametz. So why would that be? So what's the raya against Rashi? Yoni? What? The Gemara Baba Kama, which says it only works for lechazei gukni. So then the Rishonim themselves understood, well, maybe schiras karka shiny. So what do they say to that? Another Gemara. Which says? Schiras karka is kikarka. Does Gemara really say schiras karka is legamri kikarka? And therefore what? Legabe, what does the Gemara say then? Schiras karka is kikarka, and therefore. No. Not gibel shana, but therefore you need kinyane karka. Namely, kesef, shtar, chazaka. Ah. And that's what all the Rishonim quote to reject Rashi. Right? The Gemara says it only works in Mesiras HaMavteach for lechazei gukni. The Gemara also says the requirement of Sefiras Karka is identical to Karka. Kesef, shtar, chazaka. If this is not a chazaka adequately when it comes to Mechira, then it's not a chazaka, obviously. And you need a chazaka for Sefiras Karka. When the Nosakalim want to show that the Rambam, they want to say, well, the Rambam must hold like the Ram, like Tosus, whatever. They say, oh, because look at Ilchus Schiros, right? He paskins that Mesiras HaMavteach is only lechazei gukni. He paskins that you need kesef shtar and chazaka for Schiros karka, like you need. What's missing? What's the hole? What am I trying to suggest? Maybe. Netanya? You could say, no, it's good ironclad raya. Matan? Maybe.
There might be a difference between Sefiras Matzei and
Shkotar Kula. No. I mean, the difference between Lo Yimatzei, that's Bal Yoroh Bal Yimatzei. Again, that's probably what, on some level, a combination. That's certainly what the Kor Chaim is saying for Rashi. But I want to say something even more basic, because I think it's Ikar Chasam and HaSefer. Anybody? In light of things that we've said. Yeah.
And I'm working on his theorist. You have to use
Correct. All we know from the other Gemaras is that Schiras Karka, like Mechira, requires a Chazaka, or Kesef, or Shtar. But does that mean that the Hagdara of Chazaka is identical for Schiras Karka and Mechira? Well, default you would think yes. But especially in light of an interesting argument between the Rambam and the Ravid, not so pashut, which I wanted you to look at. Kyle, you saw it? Perek Aleph Hilchos Mechira? Was it Halacha Tezvav? Famous, famous debate. And with this I conclude just for today. I'll tell you, I'll expand on it Sunday, and then we'll go through each shita, and then back a little bit, just to fill in some of the achronim and some of the poskim. What's the argument, Kyle? I didn't see it yet. Okay, so you look at that over the weekend. There's a debate between the Rambam and the Ravid, Simcha Leib. Didn't see it? Anybody see it yet? Yeah? Correct. Can you be Kone b'chazaka, cheskas karka, b'achilas peros? Or is chazaka only b'gufa davar? No, God al parats. Let's say you were machzik in the peros of a karka, would that be enough? The Rambam says yes. The Ravid says no. A very fascinating argument. Okay? Now, what's the whose position is the default difficult one? Yoni? Would you say? What?
It's hard to know.
Why? Why would you?
Because it's an action of ownership, right? Only the Baal is going to come and take this.
Oh. So this goes to the heart of an important issue. What is the nature of Kinyan Chazaka? You're not learning about Basra, right? Somebody told me Yeshiva might be learning about Basra next year. Is that true? We're not learning about Basra right now, so I just want to make this brief. But Kinyan Chazaka is a unique Kinyan. Let's just say, especially according to Rambam, that the reason that you might not require Maisa Magufa Shol Karka is because, again, Nol, Godar, Paratz, Kolshu, what is that really? The Rambam understands that the nature of Kinyan Chazaka is Horas Bailos, acting like an owner. This also connects the relationship between Kinyan Chazaka and Raya's Chazaka a little more. It's an interesting question. The Rambam thinks if you're eating the peros, then you're acting like an owner. You would have thought, like, you know, if you're doing a Maisa Chazaka to be Kona the Karka, you have to be do a Chazaka and the Karka, like the Ravid says. If it's an objective Maisa Kinyan, then the Ravid is correct. But if it's a din and horos bailos, then even oyde tashmishim, perhaps. However, let's go a giant step further. There seems to be a Yerushalmi, seems to say in the beginning of Bava Basra, I don't think I gave it a look at, seems to compare, according to one view, Mesiras HaMafteach and Chazaka on Peros. In light of everything that we discussed, for the Rambam and maybe for others, even if you hold that Schiras is Kinyan Liyomei, right, it could be that that doesn't eliminate the Maskir, and it could be that that reflects the fact that there's still a different qualitative emphasis. It's a Kinyan Tashmishim Legabe Aguf, or Aguf Legabe, it's like Guf Leperosa. So maybe it's very reasonable to think that even if the Siras HaMavteach is not, again, Rambam holds Mesiras HaMavteach doesn't work even in Hilchos Mechir Perek Aleph. That's fine. I'm using the Rambam just to make a bigger point. But maybe when it comes to Chazaka of Schiras, given the nature of Chazaka, Yudakka would say Horoz Bailus Al Yidei Peros, or Horoz Bailus Al Yidei Mesiras HaMavteach, would be sufficient. I'm not so sure that the Rambam doesn't think that Mesiras Mafteach works for Kinyan Schiras. And I certainly don't think that the Rayas against Rashi are foolproof. Given the nature of Schiras, even when it's K'mechira Lizman Katsuv, namely the recognition that it isn't really a Kinyan Aguf L'Gamri. It's a kind of Guf L'Peirosa of the Tashmishim, where Mafteach, Mesiras Mafteach, becomes a critical factor. If that's not true, as far as the Kol HaTorah Kula aspect to explain Rashi, at minimum it might be true with regard to Lo Yimatzei and Chametz, in terms of what you need, the level of bialis you need for Bidika. And that, of course, fits in to the Mekor Chayim very well. Okay, we'll stop here. And we'll try to finish. I really want to finish Sunday, and I want to move on to Cheskas Baduk, Lishayle, Nemanus, and then after that, again, if you can start already looking at the Hagdaros Abitol, the Ramban, the round we discussed already, Tosus. I'll give you things to look at, more things to look at. Okay. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Yeah.